come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Oh yes, dear listener, right here at VOC2FM, it is indeed that time of the week. Year 2024, we're back with a bang, dear listener, in as far as Plug-In. Yes, you remember Plug-In from 2023. Yes, Plug-In is back in year 2024. It's a beginning of a new era. Yeah, God is doing a new thing. There is only one man, dear listener, who is about to greet you after, let's say, some couple of weeks. Yeah. But he's back. I think he was trying to rejuvenate, you know. Grace will always locate you wherever you are, and it's been located by Grace again. Yeah, a very good afternoon, Mr. Mpumelelo.
Good afternoon, Tabiso. How are you, my brother?
Yeah, no, I'm good in year 2024. I want to believe that you are doing great.
I'm doing very, very well, my brother. Thank you so much. My prayers that our listener also out there is doing very well. We've been away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Plug-In has not been on air for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell that you particularly have been missing the program.
Yeah. Personally, I've been missing the program, and I'm happy to see you back again as the host of the program.
No, I'm happy to be here. May I just take this opportunity to greet our dear listener for the first time this year in 2024. My name is Mpumelelo Simelane. I am a born-again child of God. I love the Lord. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. I am your host on the program Plug-In, connecting to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the program that seeks to tap into certain environments, maybe markets where the word of God may have been misinterpreted, or our brother or sister out there has chosen to live life outside the confines of God, outside the will of God, outside the guide of God. So we are here to share the word of God as we had been doing the previous year. We are starting off this year, this afternoon on the 7th of February, 2024. We will look at a brief topic that we have themed, God is our only cover. Plug-In has been made possible by Evangelical Church Batsapa under the leadership of Dr. Reverend N.T. Nyawo. Evangelical Church Batsapa is located on your way to the old airport in Matsapa, around the Matsapa municipality, just after the police housing. If you would like to fellowship with us, you can come and fellowship. We've got two services. One is at 8:30, which is done in English, and the other is at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., which is in Siswati. We do have a Bible study session in between. Directly after that Bible study session is the Siswati service. We have youth services as and when announced in church. Do come and fellowship with us. If you're looking for a Bible teaching church, you can come and fellowship with us. Plug-In has been made possible by Evangelical Church Matsapa. We do have transport that is provided at no cost. It leaves the library at 8:30. It leaves the library at 8 a.m., my apologies. And it goes through all the stations, Nazarene, Gakhoza, Lokoba, Mhlaleni, all the way to the church. If you would like to come, you are very, very welcome. This afternoon, we'll be looking at a brief topic themed, God is our only cover. Our scripture reading will be taken from Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 7 to verse number 9. Shall we read? Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 7 to 9 reads as follows. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed on fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Amen. It is a valid question even this afternoon, brothers and sisters. Where are you? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, O God, for the word that you have given us through your Holy Scripture. We are praying, Lord, as our dear listener is listening out there, as I speak, as whoever else is listening, King of Kings, thumela nkulunkulu nonemandla wakho umoya lo ingcwele to create a transformation in their lives and in their hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As I was reading the scripture, what sat in my heart was verse number 7, and particularly the word coverings. If I could just read it again, verse number 7 reads, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed on fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." It was particularly the word coverings. In other versions, it says aprons. As I digested and meditated upon this word, it came upon me that we are living in a world where we are in constant pursuit for cover, such that we use anything we convince ourselves will do the trick. And this is an act that we partake in through the force of our nature. It is who we are. We are living in a world where we are in constant pursuit. We are constantly chasing for some sort of cover. Maybe to define the word cover, it is to put something on top of or in front of something with the objective of protecting or concealing it. It is to put something on top of or in front of something with the objective of protecting it or to conceal it. And another word for the word cover is atonement, which also means to cover or to cancel or to reconcile. This means to foster peace between two parties or to bring current standing back to its original state. So Adam and Eve, they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves in an effort to protect, conceal, reconcile, cancel, or maybe to bring current standing, or in an effort to bring current standing back to its original state. Adam and Eve, they used fig leaves to conceal, or at least in an effort to conceal or to protect themselves of the revelation that they were now naked, that they were no longer in their original standing with their maker. They needed to make peace by concealing the act that had brought them to where they now were. Their situation needed saving. How about yours, my brother and sister? How about yours? True saving comes from the atoning work of Jesus Christ. However, the human race is still fleeing from God, just like their father, Adam, did. In the 8th verse of the scriptures we read, we see Adam and his wife hiding from God. Verse number 8 reads, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was talking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." God looked and called for the man, saying, "Where are you? Where are you?" God's question to Adam and Eve indicates the nature of his relationship to people. God always acts first in his redemptive purpose. He is the seeker of those who are lost. We can have a look at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter number 19. We'll read from verse number 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be with the guest of the notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor. I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost." This was the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse number 1 to 10. Now, Zacchaeus was a man who experienced a life-changing encounter with Jesus. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, as the scriptures have said, within the region of Jericho. He was a rich man, and Jewish tax collectors like Zacchaeus were hated in the community because they were known for cheating the tax payers. They were also hated because they were representatives of a cruel and oppressive and idolatrous state, which was unjust. Now, the implication in verse number 7 is that Zacchaeus was a guilty man. It reads, "All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be with the guest. He has gone to be a guest of a sinner.'" Which clearly tells us that Zacchaeus was a guilty man. Zacchaeus was a man known for sinful fruits within the community. But Christ went to him and he says, in the last verse, he says, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." And he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." So in that way, we know that Zacchaeus was a guilty man. We know that Zacchaeus was a man filled with sin who cheated people of their taxes within the community. But Christ came to bring him salvation. For everything that he had done, he needed cover. In the 8th verse, he even promises restitution. Restitution is to make amends where one has done wrong. And after he promises that restitution, then Christ assures him of salvation, saying, "Today salvation has come to this house." And he plainly states it in the 10th verse that the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. When God was asking where Adam is, he was not asking because he did not know where they were or because he could not find them. God always knows where we are. The psalmist in Psalm 139, verse number 7, verse number 8 to 12, it reads, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." So God is not asking Adam and Eve where they are because he doesn't know where they are. Rather, he was asking them where they were for their own benefit, just like a parent who asks a child a question to which he or she already knows the answer. God was offering an opportunity to Adam and Eve to admit they are wrong. Where are you? From the beginning, we have sinned. We have sinned against our Maker. We are fleeing and hiding from Him because of the sin that we hold on our backs. Today, we continue to flee from Him, even though He first loved us. No one seeks God until they realize that what they have put their hope and trust in, or should I say, the cover that they believe that they are using or will use, is not useful. No one seeks God until they realize that what they have put their hope and trust in or their cover is not useful. We can put up covers between ourselves and God in the false hope that He will not know where we are. But Christ knows where we are. Where are you? He asked. It is easy to put away the questions that haunt us. Or the convictions that we do not want to feel or we do not want to see. The result to such acts is our own blindness. God is sovereign and He cannot be caught by surprise. He asks, "Where are you?" because He has a cover to offer. God is our only cover. Christ sought us from the beginning in our unregenerate state, yet all that we are looking for is the good things that He can give us. Majority of the time when we are praying, it is never about God, but it is more about what I can benefit from the response in the prayer that I am praying. We are always looking for the good things that He can give us in this world. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 9 to 11, it reads, "Well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God." We do not seek God, but we flee from Him. But He comes to us and He says, "Where are you? I have a cover to offer you." The scriptures are stating that the human being is not good. He is immoral. And this immorality results in life lived under the judgment of a guilt in this world. It is the guilt that is experienced is not a pleasant experience, and there is always an effort to conceal or to cover it through convenient ways. Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden used fig leaves and hid from God. There's a hymn that sings, "Oh, how I love Jesus." The hymn sings, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth." And then it sings, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Because He first loved me." How necessary was atonement? How necessary was the cover of God? I'm sure we have questioned ourselves as to why God did not just leave humanity in its lost state and hopelessness. Why didn't God just declare people sinless and upright? Scriptures teach us, though, that God is holy, loving, and righteous. He is unwilling for people to be lost and cannot overlook their guilt or accept them in their sinful state. And in order for God to restore people to Himself, God resolved this through atonement. The solution was in the Son, who met all the requirements of being a qualified atonement for our sins. What were the requirements of God's cover upon our lives? What were the requirements of God's cover upon our lives? The first one is obedience. The atonement or the sinless Lamb of God had to be obedient to the Father in order for him to provide a cover upon our life. Obedience. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it reads, "Rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." In order for Christ to provide to us salvation, in order for Christ to provide for us an effective cover upon our lives, he had to become a sacrifice. Not just a sacrifice, but an obedient sacrifice. He did not assume his own right with equality with God, but willingly took the form of a servant. This meant he had to voluntarily limit the exercise of all his divine attributes for some time. That is obedience. He had to be obedient to the Father. Christ had to be obedient to the Father in order to be a cover, in order to lay his life down for us to attain a cover upon our lives. Number two, it's propitiation. This is the satisfaction of the wrath of God. This is the satisfaction of God's anger against sin. To turn away God's anger, or to sacrifice, or to appease God, propitiation. In the book of 1 John, verse or chapter number 4, verse number 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The love of God may be misunderstood at times, removing the ability of God being angry. God can be angry. And God's anger is judicial, meaning that it is purposeful and it is inevitable. It is directed towards sinners. Therefore, it must be appeased. God's anger is appeased or propitiated by the suffering of Christ in the sinner's place, and the punishment for sin is no longer placed on the sinner. That is another requirement for God's cover upon our life. The first requirement for God's cover upon our lives was obedience. Christ had to be obedient. The second one is propitiation, which is the satisfaction of the wrath of God against sin, the appeasing of God's anger against sin, which turns away God's anger. It appeases God. And then the third one is reconciliation. As soon as the first sin was committed, there was a need for reconciliation, because sinners became enemies with God and should be brought back into correct standing with the Lord. And as human beings continue to sin, we need to be reconciled with God. God has taken the first step to reconcile men with God. While we were still sinners, Christ, he died for us. In the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse number 10 to 11, it reads, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So that is another requirement of God's cover upon our life. Maybe this afternoon I will end at reconciliation, and as of next week we will have a look at redemption and conclude this message. May I end there this afternoon. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us this afternoon to come and share your word. We once again request that you speak to your people out there in some way, in one way or another. It is you who can really speak to someone. It is you who can transform a life. It is you who can bring about knowledge and understanding of what has been shared in your word, King of Kings. Father, we pray this afternoon, Lord, that you will be with our dear listener and as we leave, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't get it.